Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting episode of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so right now, down here in the South, weather is sort of, I think all the seasons are having a fight with each other. Because, like, it's getting really cold, and then it's hot, and then it's humid, and then there's pollen, and then there's not, and then there's rain. And, you know, just winter, you're drunk. Go home.
Yeah, sorry that Utah weather kind of got away from us.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, so I've been dealing with allergy shit this week. But anyway, this episode is going to be for March 23rd, 2018. As always, some serious shit went down this week. We now know who the Austin Bomber was, and we made a point of was because he, well, you'll see. Also, there's been more shakeups in the Trump administration. It's really starting to feel like shit's starting to coalesce. Like, you know, it finally feels like we've reached the breaking point as far as that goes. Even some of the people at Fox News are starting to get sick of this shit, and you'll find out why and who. Also, apparently, are still convinced that eating poop can be good for you. I don't know.
I encourage anyone who thinks that to do that.
Yeah. Please. And the autonomous cars are alive and they're coming to kill us. They tasted blood for the first time this week, and
well, we don't know if they liked it or not, so there's
no. But we now know that Skynet is real, and now getting increasingly...
Well, it may not be Skynet, it may just be stupid.
That's true.
To be fair.
Yeah. Anyway, we got all that and more on this this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, start us all off. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I'm still making my way through Battlefield Earth. It's really long. I'm kind of enjoying the fact that, you know, our main protagonist here, Johnny, goes over to Africa for a jaunt and gets back, and the society has gone from kind of a clan tribal thing to a fascist empire. So,
yep.
Yeah, that, amazing how that happened in about
life.
2 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of interesting. A lot of parallels to what's currently going on in the Trump administration, oddly enough. Which, I mean, obviously, this book was written way, way, way before that was even a thing.
1980.
Yeah, 1980. So, you know, it's the same principles, though. It's, you know, corruption tends to coalesce and shit happens, and then it corrects itself.
Violently, so, usually.
Yeah, so there's that I've been going on. It's a good book. I'm still quite pleased with the production of it. Yeah, fun audiobook. Not really done too many full cast dramatizations like this one, especially never this long. But it's, yeah, it's good. Worth listening to if you've never had a chance to check it out.
Yeah. Speaking of Hubbard, did everybody hear that the Church of Scientology has a TV channel now?
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Off-brand woo is still woo.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that's a thing. Apart from that, I've been doing some site stuff, as Patrick has no doubt seen.
Yes.
Yeah, we're kind of getting closer to where we want to be. So it's probably still some more stuff that I can do on the back end and getting things ready. But
look forward to it.
Yeah.
We're stoked.
Yep. Also, Smashpad, that's coming along. I have to sit down with Dan Rib and Jonard and get the colors, fonts, and artwork all sorted out. But other than that, that's pretty much ready to go. Finally, after having to take 2 online courses to be able to know what the fuck I was doing, I managed to do that. So that's great. So that's doing the good. And yesterday I started playing Titan Quest on the PS4, which is, it's Titan Quest. That game is good. It's definitely a little rough around the edges. It's like they did try to consoleize the UI as best they could. But there's like some things that make very little sense. Like, for instance, when you're managing your inventory, there's like really huge amounts of white space all around the screen border for no apparent reason whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's like the inventory screen is all crunched up into the center, and they had a lot more room that they could have worked with and chose not to for some reason. There's that. Ranged combat is a little weird because it's instead of like having an auto target, well, yeah, you do have an auto target, but instead of having a lock on, you have basically what amounts to just vision cones. You just kind of point your character in the general direction of where you want to shoot, and then you shoot. And this also works with melee combat, with the side effect that if an enemy is not quite within your range, you run right up to it. So, it sort of works. I haven't really had any really major issues with it. It's just kind of weird. It feels a little rough around the edges, considering, you know, I'm used to playing Diablo 3 on the consoles, which is about as finely polished as you can probably get with a game of that genre.
It's like, oh, clearly Blizzard did not work on this game.
No. But we also have to keep in mind that this is like a 10-year-old game that we're, you know, that we're playing with here. So there's some concessions that need to be made. And the Ragnarok expansion is not present. So that's a bit worrying. I wonder if they're going to sell that later. But there's still plenty of content in there with that and the Immortal Throne, which is included. So yeah, it's good. I like it. I will play more of it and probably report back on any other issues that I find on Sunday. So, yeah, that's been me. How about you, Pat?
Well, sticking with the World Warriors concept, I've been playing quite a bit of Soul Calibur 2 again, as it so happens. Obviously, World Warriors supports it, and I figured now is as good a time as any to finish getting unlocks on my Xbox One copy. And I had a new fight stick come in for the Xbox One, so, you know, everything just kind of lined up pretty well, and it's given me a good chance to break in the stick. So that's been a thing, and all I've got left to do is Lizard Man to unlock, and unfortunately that takes a hot minute.
Yeah, because you have to literally go through nearly the entire story to get him.
Yeah. So I'm still plugging away at that. I'm actually doing that as I speak. And in addition to that, World Warriors launches here on the 5th, which is very soon now.
Yeah. It's like, oh, crap. Now we need content and fast.
Yeah.
Well, we have 2,000 plus videos in the database. So.
And counting, because I'm still working on getting the Makai Cup compiled. There was final round that just took place this past weekend.
Yeah, still got to change those.
Yep, and then there's NCR coming up next weekend. So, yeah, lots of stuff left to do, and look forward to having a good deal of content to enjoy when we launch on the 5th of April.
Yeah.
That's been my week.
All right. Chris, what about you?
So weather's been real shitty. It's still winter's holding on as much as it can. Yeah, I've got snow like 3 or 4 inches on Wednesday, which prompted everybody on the highway to drive at half the speed, which was not great. Luckily, I left early enough to not be late for work, but yeah, fuck those people. Like, just speed up a little bit. Don't even have to go, you know, at 60 on the highways that are not that bad. Just learn to drive. It's Ohio. We get all the seasons. But yeah, as for other things, I've been watching actually the March Madness stuff that has been going just crazy. This was the first year ever that a number one seed lost to a 16. And it was the number one overall team, Virginia, that lost to a 16. They lost to UMBC. You could probably not
and
guess.
Suddenly there are no brackets left.
And you would probably not know where the hell they're located unless you live around that area. That is University of Maryland in Baltimore County. Which you know, millions of people learned who the hell UMBC is on that day. even on the one side of the brackets, the highest seed that could get to the final championship game would be a number three seed. It's like that's how this whole season has been, just chaos all over the place. I think in the they've had some of the games determine who's in the final eight, and I think an 11 seed team is in there. I think it's Loyola Chicago. They managed to beat Nevada, who's an 8th seed, which that's just how crazy this whole thing has been, that there's an 8 and 11 in the 16, the round of 16. It's nuts, but it's really fun. Which I like seeing people are like, this is not how you determine the best team. Like, no, but it's a lot more fun than like how football does it, where they try and rank it and then have a 4-team playoff where it's like you still miss like at least another 4 good teams that should be in that running. But as for other stuff, I'm continuing to watch the Drew Carey Show. I'm in season 5 now. I just watched the episode where Oswald finds out he has a son. Potentially it could also be Lewis's son, because they both slept with the same girl in tap dancing school or summer camp, I think it was. Yeah, it's still a lot of really good stuff. This is where Drew and Kate are dating now. They try to have sex and Drew trips on his dog and sprains his penis, which is a great thing. They're still dealing with it being sore and all that. They had the wedding with Steve and Mimi, which was pretty good, as Drew and his friends could not get their uncle buried in the backyard. So end up coming out and finding out he's one of the tables, his coffin. Just some really good stuff here. Also watched Nailed It, which is a Netflix show that is kind of a cooking competition show, but for people that are not good at baking.
Like at all.
Yeah. They're fine bakers for like making cookies and, you know, general cakes at home, but they're asked to make actually complicated stuff. And see like their honest attempts at this, which is, I think, a really cool show. Cause they have, two consistent, hosts on, one is, I believe she's a comedian, Nicole, trying to figure out what her name is, Nicole something. The other one is a, world famous baker who, comes from France. He's very much proficient in chocolate. And then they have one special guest on each show. The first one was one of the most famous people for wedding cakes. This is old woman who, so they do like the first rounds, like, have them pick out, these are for like 3 different versions of the same thing. I think the first episode was like cake pops, different kinds of cake pop, like special designs. And so they made their honest attempts trying to make, whichever pair of cake pops they got. The person who gets voted the best of the 3 gets like a golden, baker's cap to put on their head for the next round. And they also get, all 3 gets a help button that they can push at any point and get, advice from one of the experts on how to potentially save whatever they're working on or whatever. The worst one, I think, gets a button that has Nicole just go and harass the other 2 for like 3 minutes. And so she just goes there and just yells at them or makes fun of them or all that sort of stuff, trying to distract them for long enough while they're trying to make like an actual wedding cake specific design. And most of the time it's not good, but there's occasional ones that are like, yeah, that's way better than anybody else would expect of you. It's a really nice kind of positive, terrible cooking show instead of some of the ones that are out there where it's just people yelling at each other. It's definitely something people should check out. It's pretty good. As for games, I have been playing Vostok Inc., which is a game. It's on, I think it's on PS4, Switch, probably Steam, and maybe Xbox One as well. It is an idle game mixed with a dual stick shooter.
Really?
Yeah, so you are joining Vostok Inc. And sort of flying around the solar system with your ship to install these, I forget what they're called, they're like mining stations onto each of the planets. And you sort of keep flying back and forth to manage them. And until you get enough money, you kind of have to go back to also get the money that they've mined. And that part of it works pretty well. There are obviously like upgrades and such you get to increase the amount of money, as well as just buying more of them to increase the money. But then you also get this special type of satellite that conveniently is an ATM, is what it's abbreviated as. And that just puts the money into your account. So then you can obviously spend it elsewhere on more upgrades and such. And so there are other galaxies to get to after you beat the boss of that. But along the way, you're getting harassed by enemies between the planets. And so that's where the sort of the dual stick shooter stuff is coming into play. There are occasional points where you might run into these sort of scout ships that, if you don't take them out quickly, will lock the screen and you're stuck in sort of a little boss, not a boss battle, but you're fighting various enemies and such in this little encounter. If you come out of that well enough, you get a bunch of money out of that. So there's good reason to take them out, but also they kind of get in the way of the idle game stuff. So there's some points where you just want to just use your boost, just get across the solar system as fast as possible. And as, all the while you're doing this stuff, they're actually like rotating around the sun. So, you know, when you're going out to like Neptune or Uranus, it's a little bit harder to find them because obviously they're way farther out. And depending on where they're at in the rotation, you might have to travel out further than you think. But yeah, I've beaten the first boss in the solar system. I'm on the second one where there are these aliens that think of humans like we think of dogs. So they're like, oh, look at them. They found space travel and they're in our solar system now. Oh, we get you some milk? Is that what you guys like to drink? It's like, and it's pretty good stuff. And they're kind of, their ships are kind of flying around. Some of them occasionally attack you. Yeah, it's kind of humorous in that way. Usually one of the worst things is they don't have voice acting or anything like that, but constant dialogue stuff. And it uses very annoying dialogue sound effects, sort of the way that, like, Animal Crossing and all that has. But it also comes out of the controller on the PS4. And so immediately the first thing, whenever I could pause it to go to the settings, was turn that stuff down, because it's really loud and annoying. And it comes out of both your TV speakers and the controller at about the same volume, seemingly, which is just kind of unsettling. But you can also turn off the idle dialogue he has, the guy that's managing your stuff. And so you can turn that off so that only the important stuff, like story stuff and tutorial stuff, shows up. But yeah, it's pretty neat as like a mixture of two different things that are things I enjoy, and seeing how it works well together. The combat kind of comes off as being a little bit much. Like, I could deal with like a little bit less combat annoyances, because the managing the mining operations is more interesting to me than the combat, which is kind of just standard dual stick shooter stuff. But yeah, you also spend your money on upgrading ships, your ship, and getting different types of weapons or upgrading your radar stuff, so you know, so it can tell you like, hey, this is how far the HQ is, so you can go upgrade your ship, or this is how far to get to the boss battle, or the sort of wormhole that takes you to the other galaxies, that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's pretty good. I got it while it was on sale, so that was a good price for it. It was $7.49, half off. I think it's still on sale on Switch. It might be lasting a few more days there. But yeah, it's a pretty neat little game.
All right.
I also did a video for Time Recoil. It's up on Smashpad now. That's the one of 10 Tons games. It's one of our 10 Tons of Switch series that I've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one's another shooter. The big change from the others is that you have kind of time controls a little bit. Mm-hmm. As you kill enemies, the time slows down. And as you keep doing taking out enemies while it's slowed down, it sort of refills that meter. And as you take out these enemies in succession, you'll build up this sort of counter towards new towards your different special moves. So initially, like two kills, you get this sort of rush move that lets you sort of warp across the level and take out enemies that are in your way. You get the four, and it's more you get more of a cone of effect, so you can potentially take out more enemies if you get that lined up right. Six launches it's like a time bomb that you can put wherever and it explodes this whole area, so you can take out more enemies that way. And then eight is where I'm at, and I'm forgetting what it does.
All right.
I forget what it is, but yeah, that's it's pretty good. It's more just about the story mode, so it just kind of keeps throwing you into the next level and the next one as you're trying to take down the evil, like it's Mr. Time is the boss of that game. And so you're in like the resistance, the time resistance, who is trying to stop the thing he did to Paris, which he destroyed Paris at some point in the past. And this is all set in the 80s. Like it's 87 is when the stuff you're doing in the resistance is. So you're trying to find ways to go back in time to stop terrible events, but also recruiting certain types of people. Like mostly scientists so far, but yeah, that's there's also the time attack versions of each of those stages, so there is some score attack stuff in there, but it's been pretty good for what I've played of that, but it's not as good as like Tesla versus Lovecraft or Neon Chrome or Crimson Land. Yeah. It's kind of it's probably the worst of their shooters, but not bad in any way. But yeah, and I've got the next game lined up, which happened to be one I've already put some time into on the Switch, so that one will be coming up probably Sunday or Monday. Yeah, and that's kind of been it. How about you, Teresa?
I have been playing Pokemon Go a little bit more. Weather's getting a little nicer, so they just had a double XP event, and now they've got a 2K egg event, so I'm working on that, and still closing in on level 36. Dudes, this is taking forever. It really is. And I'm pretty sure there are some location spoofers, some people cheating again. So I know. I was standing on a bridge, and there's nobody around me except my kid, who isn't playing, obviously. And, I'm trying to take down this gym, and somebody gets healed. And I'm like, I know you can heal now. You can heal your Pokemon from far away, but you can only give so many berries.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept going and going and going and going. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is just not even cool. So I was kind of pissed off about that, but still, I keep playing. So I've been playing that, but I really haven't been playing anything else this week. I don't know where the hell this week has gone. It's like been a black hole week. Well, it's probably been me sitting in front of the TV. So I've been watching IT Crowd. What is this, like my fifth watch through of this? I don't even know. So much SpongeBob. And I was watching a little more of the Queer Eye reboot, and that was pretty good. I just watched the episode that they were making over a cop. Mm. And so, you know, they brought up the big thing. How do Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, cops get together and have a discussion? And they did. And I think they approached it as well as they could in the limited time that they had.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been listening to a lot of music, mostly Pandora, but I was adding some stuff for our phones, and you guys know that I generally detest older music. I don't know why. It's just
how old?
Anything that was before I was conceived is just flat out off the list. And I don't enjoy going back and listening to anything pre-college. So, and you know, to be fair, the 80s and early 90s were just shit for music. You know, it was just, we still were in the aftermath of payola, and, you know, everything was spoon fed to us. We really, unless we were in a place where we could get a hold of, you know, like some underground tapes or go to clubs mm-hmm. or something, all we got to listen to was the shit they played on MTV or Top 40 radio.
Yeah. And for those who are curious, you know, that shit you sometimes hear when you go, say, into a grocery store or a drugstore mm-hmm. over the radio or in a waiting room, that's the shit that was topping the charts in 1991.
Yeah, pretty much. And then grunge hit.
And then Nirvana. And
Pearl Jam. Yeah.
It's basically the sole reason why Nirvana managed to get so popular as they did, because literally everything else that was out at the time sucked so much ass.
Yeah. Well, except for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, well, that's, you know, true. The Chili Peppers were kind of the late 80s alternative scene.
Yeah.
You know, R.E.M. and, you know, well, Buddha Gurus, all that stuff.
Some of the stuff I was raised on.
Yeah.
Well, amazingly enough, I freaking love the Kinks. Where did that come from?
Oh, well, the Kinks were probably the one, probably next to the Beatles, were like the best band to come out of that whole era.
And like, I never even gave them the time of day because it was the 60s. I'm not going to listen to that. Awesome.
They were of like the big bands that came out from the British Invasion. They were pretty much the only one next to that kept consistently making music and not sucking.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, the Rolling Stones kept making music, and then they really sucked for a while.
They kind of did. So, yeah, I was really floored that, you know, I just listened to it on a whim, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm going to listen to this more. And I also discovered an up-and-coming alternative indie Utah band, and I cannot figure out if, like, I don't think that they're a religious band. I think that they're just an alternative indie band. So they're called The Aces, and they have a new album coming out. I think it actually might be their first one in April, I believe. And so I was watching their videos from last year because they had some singles, and I was listening to the two songs that they released off of the new upcoming album. And like them, they're pretty cool. Yeah. But I'm not sold on them being a religious band. So, mm-hmm. And if they are, I'm not picking up very many hints of it in the music or in the lyrics whatsoever. But it's been a fairly lame, tame week for me. Honestly, I just haven't been home to be doing stuff.
Yeah.
So that's really about it. What have you been doing, Brandon?
All right. Well, pretty much my entire, like, my gaming has pretty much been divided between Breath of the Wild and Yakuza 0. So as you can probably guess, that shit takes up time.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Zelda is concerned, I've now gotten two of the divine beasts. I've conquered the elephant divine beast and recently conquered the bird divine beast.
Ah.
I actually did the elephant one first because people said you should just go ahead and get that one out of the way because apparently the boss of that particular one is a real bitch to fight. And yeah, he was.
He was, but there was one that I had a harder time with than him. But I haven't done the big bird. But
yeah. The bird one is actually pretty easy. As long as you've got like a really powerful weapon with you and like a bunch of bomb arrows.
Mm-hmm.
So like I had a dragon bone club, and like you get like 20 bomb arrows before you go into the actual, before, you know how like when you start out getting the divine beast, you have to basically incapacitate them before you can actually enter them?
Yes.
Well, you're one of the first things they do is you basically have to take out its cannons, because apparently we have guns in Zelda now.
Why not?
Why not? But basically, you're given a bunch of bomb arrows, like 20 bomb arrows, to take out the cannons quick. And you only need to use like two for each, and there's like four of them. So you still got like a good 12 left over if you do right. So I got all that. I got those done. There's just a lot of shit to do in between points in this game.
There really is. Oh, my God.
And it's very easy to get caught up in just the smallest things. Speaking of getting caught up in the smallest things, Yakuza 0, holy shit. you're something about a game series that has so much side stuff you can do that could by themselves be their own games.
Sometimes they are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Freaking, like... all the thousands and thousands of yen that I've wasted playing Puzzle Pull, for example, going bowling, or, you know, trying to just playing Space Harrier. I mean,
yeah, there are good reasons to go bowling.
Yeah.
So one of the characters you unlock is great.
Yeah. And, it's amazing also how they can make like this really serious, like really gritty Yakuza story, and yet still include all this really goofy shit on the side at the same time. And somehow it all seems perfectly natural. Like it doesn't seem out of place at all.
Yeah. They're populating that world with stuff that would have been in that world. So it just kind of fits.
Yeah, and the neat thing is Yakuza 0 actually takes place in 1988, so you're basically seeing, like, the late 80s Japan and experiencing it yourself in the first person, and, man, it's like, a lot of that stuff is, like, really shit that existed in Japan in the late
80s. Yeah. Did you go and see the sex call area?
Oh, you mean the parts, the phone card shit?
No, you can actually go answer calls.
Oh, no, I haven't gotten to that yet.
That is probably one of the greatest animations for answering a phone and hanging up.
Oh, yeah. And also the soundtrack is great. The music's fantastic. I found out that guy who voices the character that you play, I forgot what his name is.
Kazuma.
Yeah, he actually has his own band called Goodfellas that he's the lead singer for. Mm-hmm. The guy's name's Takaya Kuroda. And yeah, it is good shit too. But yeah, it's like you go into like a convenience store. Like there's convenience store because the whole game basically takes place in... pretty much takes place in like this one district in this fictional area in I guess is Shinjuku or is it Tokyo? I can't.
Well, Shinjuku is part of Tokyo.
Yeah.
But Kamurocho is based on Kabukicho.
Yeah. And you go into like one of the one of the, there's like convenience stores there, and on that convenience store they've got a magazine rack that you can go and look over, and there is like a bunch of like manga magazines that actually exist, that are, so a lot of them are still around, like you know, Weekly Shonen Magazine and Shonen Champion, Young Magazine, Young King, like all this stuff, and it's like, you know, these are, it's my shit, is what I'm saying. You know, it's like, it appeals directly to me. but man, it is a good shit. So, and I've got like this, and I've also got Yakuza, what is it, Kiwami?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that.
The remake of the first game.
Yeah, and I've also got Yakuza 6, so that's going to come up soon. So,
yep, I've been playing that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been playing that, and pretty much the only other thing I've really been doing is Netflix stuff. I've been catching up on the documentary stuff on Netflix. Watched this amazing documentary. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen it, called Welcome to Leith. Leith is this, like, this itty-bitty little town, like itty-bitty little dead-end town of like just a few hundred residents in like nowhere North Dakota. And then suddenly for this guy shows up, decided he's wanting to make some to buy some property, and so he buys a sort of rundown house, and it turns out the guy who buys it is Craig Cobb. You know, the guy, the neo-Nazi, the guy who, you know, he's the guy who went on that show and found out he was like, what was it, like 18% sub-Saharan African? That guy.
Okay.
And he and this dude and his family, basically the whole plan they're trying to do is they're trying to buy up property in this town so that they can create a majority white Nazi haven that they can take over politically, and the struggle that this town, this little town, goes through trying to do everything they possibly can legally to basically kick these fuckers out of town. And yeah, it is harrowing shit, because Craig Cobb really does not give, he really has no scruples. He doxes people, you know, he films people, he tries to pick fights with people. It's amazing shit to watch. For the record, he did lose, and he eventually ended up going to jail, but goddamn, it's an amazing documentary. I highly recommend it. But that's pretty much everything I've been up to this week, so we got anything else we want to talk about before we move on?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, if you're somebody who has been waiting for Shenmue 3 and you're still waiting for it, you might want to just play the Yakuza games right now, because that's pretty much it. Just
better. Yeah. Good.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of them to keep you occupied for the while.
Yeah. Yeah. Yakuza, the Yakuza series is basically what they did with the template of Shenmue and sort of just streamlined it a bit. So it's not quite, so, you know, the controls and everything aren't quite as obtuse.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. So moving on from there, I guess it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And today, well, I want to talk about an individual from American history. Well, he's kind of part of world history, too, but he's specifically a big part of American history that you don't really hear much that often. In fact, he's probably almost completely unheard of in the United States, but he is sure as hell famous in Central and South America. He is a gentleman who, from the 1840s all the way up to his death in 1860, basically went around basically waving his dick around in every part of South America that he could find his way into. He is the absolute epitome of just the worst parts of the American mindset of manifest destiny and of white supremacy. He was what in military terms they call a filibuster, which I know we hear that in political terms, a filibuster, but in military terms, a filibuster is a person or persons who engage in some kind of unauthorized military expedition into a foreign country or territory pretty much for their own ends. His name was William Walker, and for about 20 or so years, he basically would go around into all these places, South America, Honduras, Nicaragua, Mexico, basically trying to just sort of impose his will on everyone wherever he went. He was originally he was born in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, because of course he fucking was. And when he grew up and he became an adult, he decided he was going to go out and he was going to have an expedition to Mexico. So he wanted to create a colony in Guaymas. And he actually petitioned the Mexican government and said, "Can I create a colony here?" And the Mexican government, of course, wrote him back and said, "No, you can't. Fuck off back to America, gringo." So he said, "Fuck that. I'm going to go and do this shit anyway." So he tried to begin recruiting some supporters of people who supported Manifest Destiny and slavery because, of course, he got a bunch of folks from Kentucky and Tennessee, and he set out and decided he was going to conquer Baja California and Sonora State. He did manage to capture La Paz, which was the capital of Baja, and he declared it the Republic of Lower California with himself as president. He then imposed the laws of the state of Louisiana upon of it, and which, of course, made slavery legal there. And he, of course, as would become the normal story here, he was invaded by the rightful Mexican government and was kicked out. When he came back to actual American California, he actually was put on trial for conducting an illegal war, actually violating the Neutrality Act of 1794. But since, you know, this is the mid-1800s in the United States and Manifest Destiny was just all the rage, the jury that tried him took 8 minutes to acquit him.
Joy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Is that a record?
Might be. All right. So after that was over, he decided he was going to try his little filibustery activities again. This time he was going to go to Nicaragua. Now, in Nicaragua, there was a civil war that was being erupted between two particular political parties, the Legitimist Party, which was a conservative party, and the Democratic Party, which was the Liberal Party, which was based in the city of León. So he decided to throw his support behind the Democratic Party, and they had a big old, just nasty little war, and he ended up coming out on top, and he ended up basically conquering the country of Nicaragua. And for a year, he was actually president of the Republic of Nicaragua from 1856 to 1857.
Wow.
Yeah, and of course he was, of course, deposed in a coup d'etat. He tried to get support from various Southerners in the U.S., basically trying to, you know, sort of put about his idea of of spreading the institution of slavery into South America. Which, keep in mind, for those who don't know, a little small piece of Civil War history a lot of people don't know about. There was an organization here in the United States, in the South, called Knights of the Golden Circle, which individuals like Jesse James and John Wilkes Booth both belonged to, who basically wanted to create a sort of a circle of a Confederacy empire that would basically install slavery in Mexico, Cuba, the Bahamas, the Caribbean, and parts of Nicaragua and Honduras. So that's kind of what William Walker was trying to appeal to here. Of course, he lost, and he again got kicked out. So he tried one more time after writing a book about his campaign in Central America, published in 1860. He decided he was going to go and now try this shit again, but this time he was going to try it in Honduras. And he was promptly arrested, tried, and then executed by firing squad.
Yeah, you don't fuck with Honduras.
So, despite the fact that this guy is, like, completely unknown in the U.S., he's kind of left out of our history books. You go down into Latin America, and oh, they know who he is.
I wish they didn't, but they do.
Yeah, because when some gringo tries to come into your country and take it over and impose his will on it and maybe try and enslave some of the native inhabitants, you could probably guess how they may feel about that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they're not too thrilled
by that.
Yeah. And just to sort of show you, like, of how... like, how much his memory is still alive in South America, but completely almost dead in North America. Back in 1988, George Bush Sr., President George Bush Sr., he decided he was going to send a new ambassador to El Salvador, because this was the late 80s during the Central American crisis. Unfortunately, the guy he sent, the ambassador, was named William Walker.
Oh, that probably didn't go well.
Yeah. That's kind of like, you know, you're trying to send an ambassador to, you know, the various native reservations, and the dude's name is Andrew Jackson. Yeah. Just not a good idea.
Unless maybe Bush really didn't like the guy and knew exactly what he was doing. Who knows?
Oh, you do remember Iran-Contra, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a random factoid for another week. Iran-Contra.
Yeah.
Interesting little story there.
Yeah.
Little story.
Yeah.
Take up an episode on its own.
Oh yeah, but anyway, and that was, ladies and gentlemen, yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. And now you feel less dumb.
Yep.
So, as always, we now start the show proper with our assholes of the week. And we have two. One of them isn't even human.
Yeah, starting with the Uber self-driving car.
Yes, yeah, so in Arizona, one of the self-driving cars that Uber has been experimenting with... hit and killed a pedestrian in Arizona.
Yeah, and
yeah. So they actually have like footage of it.
Yeah, oh, looks no. Like jaywalker.
The woman was like with a. I think she was with a bicycle.
They're just trying to cross a street.
She was like 49 years old. Her name was Elaine Herzberg, and. I mean, the people are seriously – their family are considering suing Uber.
Rightfully.
Rightfully so.
Because I remember there was some people that were sort of tracking all the autonomous cars and the companies sort of working on stuff and ranking them.
Uh-huh.
Like who the leaders are and who are, you know, not.
Mm-hmm.
Uber was in the lowest tier.
Yeah.
Alongside
and Tesla. Now we know why.
Not the first accident that Uber has had, actually.
No.
About the second one that they've had in Arizona, the first one wasn't, you know, fatal to anybody. Mm-hmm. In California, they ran for a day and a half before the state kicked them out because it almost their cars ran red lights and almost caused an accident. So
yep.
That didn't go good.
Yeah, that's why they went to Arizona because
licensing is non-existent there.
Because it's Arizona.
Yeah, Tempe, Arizona is actually a pretty good place to test this sort of stuff because the streets are all grid-based, so not much to surprise people. It's mm-hmm. flat. The roads are pretty big. It's pretty much perfect except for the unpredictability of pedestrians.
Peasants, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And this seems like just an awful situation. It seems like it might have been too fast for the driver to really stop it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the police department said initially. But then they released that video, and I don't think they slowed it down, which means if you actually see that video, mm-hmm. when she comes into view on the camera, she's about, I would probably guess, about 100 or so feet away. Mm-hmm. There would have been enough time to at least pull up pretty short. And also, it was at night, and the left lane was completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's the other complication where of the second part of that video that shows Douchebag, their safety driver, not looking at the road. He's looking down at his phone, and when he does look up, it's like, you know, that's right before the impact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened here. I've been trying to analyze it, and you know, the way that these autonomous systems kind of work, they're supposed to be redundant. You know, they have cameras, which okay, at night that's not going to work, but they also have radar and LIDAR. Radar wouldn't work too well if it was foggy, but it wasn't.
It's Arizona.
It's Arizona, so it's going to be clear. And then LIDAR is kind of you know, pretty good because it's not affected by fog.
Yeah.
So it should the car should have been able to at least notice that something was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, their system probably is not great for night.
Yeah.
Stuff, and it's probably they should have not let people out in the middle of the night to test these cars. Not until they were better prepared for their systems.
Yeah, but I mean, if the main purpose of an autonomous system like that is obstacle avoidance. Mm-hmm. So if it's coming up on an obstacle, even if you're not sure, if it's not sure of what it is, it really should fail safe and actually break. In this case, it just didn't seem to. Either it didn't recognize that she was, something that. That it was supposed to stop for, mm-hmm. or it did, and the control signal to stop didn't fire. Mm. So, I've been looking at it a lot, and I'm not gonna completely put the blame on Uber on this because their driver should have been paying attention, and it sucks that this 49-year-old homeless woman is now dead. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think there's stuff to be learned here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And let's not forget, like, that was one person who died from an autonomous car crash. There are hundreds of people a day who are hit by cars.
Yeah. That's true.
By other humans.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's going to get better for the autonomous cars once you have more of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
They can potentially network with each other so they know what each other is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because obviously the biggest, you know, question mark with regular drivers is you have no idea what those people are thinking, what they want to do, and then you throw in pedestrians in cities, and fuck, you don't know what can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, with a driver, it's like you can see the driver, you can kind of get their intent. There's no way to know what a self-driving car is going to do unless you're very mm-hmm. intimately familiar with that system.
Mm-hmm.
So it sucks. It probably does, but something like this was bound to happen, and I'm not going to say, like, you know, pleased by, because this is a terrible situation in every single regard, but at least everybody here involved is at least looking at this as a learning experience and how to actually improve this, because whether we like it or not, self-driving cars are coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, this stuff is only going to get better
time. Yeah.
Yep.
So, pseudo asshole? Yeah, I guess. I'll give the asshole award to the safety driver who was looking at his phone, apparently.
Yeah.
And that gives people more reason to not like Uber.
Yeah.
Because there's already plenty of those.
Yeah.
And now on to the from pseudo asshole of the week to actual asshole of the week. We finally found out who the Austin Bomber was. I say was because he went and hero. basically, the police caught up with him, and he basically blew himself up in his car. But we found out who this dude was. Obviously, it's our policy. We're not going to name him because, well, more than likely because you already do know who he is because his name was plastered all over the news.
Yeah, and if you follow the link, it's going to be there anyway, so.
Yeah. But he confessed by giving a cell phone confession on his phone that he made before he tripped his explosives. And what we discovered about him is he was part of this hardcore, like, Christian survivalist group, was apparently very super-duper religious conservative. For whatever reason, the thing is, no one's really sure yet what his precise motive was here.
It was just disturbed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because this comes off less, you know, this is less like it's, a lot of people do want to call this terrorism, and functionally that's what it was. But the thing is that there was no, like, as far as anyone can tell, there wasn't any real, like, motive behind it. It is true that the victims were predominantly African American, which would make any black person living in Austin understandably fearful. And those who don't know, the last bomb that set off, he set up with a tripwire, and that one apparently did not end up killing an African-American individual, but it seems more like a kind of like spree type bombing, or like a serial bombing, you know, because it's not like, you know, for those who don't know, these were all package bombs, and they were like very homemade type stuff, and basically there isn't really much of a pattern behind it. Despite who the victims were, it seems to be like his actual motive was very random, and basically the reason we know it was him is because, you know, like we said, he made a confession and then blew himself up. His actual motives and everything,
he never mentioned those. He just said, "Yeah, I did it," and then boom.
Mm-hmm.
It was just weird for a 25-minute video.
Yeah. I will say, though, and other people have already pointed it out, it's weird that it's not that it isn't necessarily not true, but for some reason the authorities are really harping on the idea of the disturbed young man angle.
Yeah, that's...
And it shows this really, like, clear sort of... double standard when it comes to this type of shit.
Yeah, because you can tell that he's not black or Muslim or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there was, you know, some part of that is true, is probably true. He probably was disturbed in some way. But what we don't really know is what other factors played into that. Yeah. It's not just, you don't just decide, you know what, I'm going to just go and blow people up because I can.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly he was drinking the conservative Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Although for whatever reason he had this weird thing about wanting to get rid of sex offender registries.
Mm.
I don't know if that's linked or not, but
well, he was pretty backwards too.
Yeah,
he thought that birth control was abortion.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, there's something weird going on with him.
Yeah. But eventually he's dead, and he ended up taking, what was it, like, how many victims were there? I think there was like 5 or 6.
2 people died, I think 5 others were injured.
Yeah, so he ended up taking 2 people with him, but God, that town was for like a couple of weeks basically in a state of absolute fear.
Terror, because he was acting like a terrorist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, sort of like the DC snipers back in mm-hmm. early 2000s.
Yeah.
And didn't one of his bombs actually cross timelines with South by Southwest?
I've heard that. I'm not sure. People did bring up that connection. Whether or not it's actually intentional or coincidental, I'm not sure.
I think it's more coincidental, but if that's going on, it's like people who are attending that show or that festival or whatever you want to call it, it'd be like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Hmm. But anyway, he's dead now.
Hmm.
And we'll really get what his true motives were in the weeks to come, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll search his apartment.
I wouldn't be surprised if, because I normally know in this stuff, maybe he left a document or something behind, like a manifesto or something.
Yeah.
Exactly, you know, but we'll just have to wait and see. So now we're going to move on and get the taste of that out of our mouths with our actual hero of the week. And our hero of the week is a company that I'm usually pretty ambivalent about, and that's Starbucks. Starbucks announced this week that they have achieved gender and racial pay equality for all of their employees in the United States.
That's pretty good. Congratulations to Starbucks for being the first to do that.
First to show that it's something that can actually be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not this mythological thing that every other corporation's like, nah, we don't know how we can do that. That's hard work.
Yeah.
Well, Starbucks is like, nope, you can do it. And we just did it.
Yeah.
Your move.
Yeah, they say they've worked hard for the last few years to get this all sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're going to be telling any candidates for their jobs in the U.S. The pay range for any position to mm-hmm. increase transparency. It's one of their core things they're doing, is being transparent about wages so that people know, you know, mm-hmm. what they should be making for that job, and know that, you know, the others around them, whether they're, you know, men, women, black, white, Asian, whatever, they're all making the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially they were at 99.7% parity, as it says, from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they just finished up whatever was left.
The 0.3%.
Yeah.
Which was, I am willing to bet, was probably in the IT sector.
Yeah.
Because there's usually a big gap there.
Mm-hmm. But, good job, Starbucks.
Yep. Now, if you can only make good coffee for once, though.
Yeah, if you did. Not if your coffee didn't suck. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And didn't, you know, just called a large a large.
Yeah.
Oh, you can absolutely refuse to use their stupid little terms. Just go in there and say, I want a small coffee. You can go in there and say, I want a kid-sized coffee. And I want a kid temperature, too, goddammit. Sorry, I don't like getting burned.
Now we got to move on to proper show proper.
The shenanigans of the week.
The shenanigans. The getabouts and the all that stuff. Starting with, well, we're going to talk about the Trump administration. And first and foremost, the deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, got fired 2 days before his retirement.
Yeah.
Because he's just that vindictive about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you don't do that unless you really don't want them to get anything.
Yeah. Now, for the record, before anyone gets too concerned, some of the folks in Congress actually offered him another temporary job so that he could work, so that he still would have his pension at the end of it. Hmm. So, you know, that part at least isn't at risk.
Hmm. Yeah.
But apparently this happened. Yeah, we found out after the firing that apparently he had authorized an investigation into Jeff Sessions' perjury charges, and
nope, Trump's not going to have that.
Yeah, but
it was weird. One of the things I saw people constantly bring up is his wife was running for office in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and that she was running as a Democrat.
Yeah,
that was somehow a terrible thing because she also got campaign funds related to Hillary.
Yeah,
again, this is all terrible things that people are going nuts about.
Consider
it's like,
source.
Well, yeah, because she was a Democrat running in 2016. It's like her party supported her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have to consider the source, really. It's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you see the whole thing with the Austin bomber where people are going nuts about bomb control? Like, why aren't people going nuts about bomb control? It's like, because we already have that.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with bombs, at the very least, without getting, you know, authorities involved.
Yeah.
Specifically laying out the reasons why you need that stuff.
Mm-hmm. But, this being the deputy F director, people are saying that this is basically one more step to Trump firing Jeff Sessions himself. And eventually firing Mueller.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder how well that's going to end up going.
Pretty much everyone in the GOP has basically said, most of the top brass in GOP have said, if Trump does that, that's basically going to be the beginning of the end of his presidency.
one of his lawyers, as far as related to the Russia stuff, was he stepped down, which I guess one of the reasons he cited is because Trump got in his head, he really needed to go talk to Mueller for his, you know, do his interview there.
Mm-hmm.
And his lawyer's like, no, that's a really bad idea. And he got so fed up with it, he just quit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of this shit. You won't listen to me.
Yeah.
Trump's lawyer is like, I can't deal with this guy anymore.
Nope. Just screw this, I'm out.
And which also he, like, weeks earlier before that happens, so shitting on the New York Times for suggesting there's not a great relationship with the lawyers as far as it relates to this stuff. And it's like, oh, they're not the failing New York Times, I guess.
Mm.
They got it right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's the story, and then we got another story. The McMaster, who is the National Security Advisor, has officially been fired, and he's being replaced by everybody's old favorite, John Bolton, or as I like to call him, Nuki the Walrus.
Yeah, he even wrote up a big article during the Olympics saying, hey, here's how we can just nuke North Korea.
Yeah. Dude's an absolute nutcase.
You know, at this point, I'm starting to wonder if you guys are even going to get to November.
So are we.
Yeah, so are we. If everything goes to shit, can we crash at your place?
Oh, totally. We got room.
But you're allergic to cats.
Yeah. We got prairies.
But, anyway, so yeah, oh, that's going to be just so much fun. Yeah, so John Bolton was one of the nutcases from the Bush administration. He was like one of the, he is like the absolute epitome of a war hawk,
mm-hmm.
like taken to like an almost cartoonish extreme. Yeah. He was really big on the Iraq war, which, by the way, turned 15 years this week.
Yeah. A pointless, ill-advised war happened 15 years ago.
Hmm. Yeah. And he's bad news all around. And considering the fact that Donald Trump is easily manipulated by someone who can appeal to his ego, yeah.
Hmm.
Have fun getting good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Isn't
really.
That kind of what he has all around him now?
Those yeah.
Other people?
Basically sycophants who... That's right.
It is like the Villains Council at this point.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Hmm.
Hopefully they're just like Dr. Evil's crew instead of somebody that can actually do anything.
Yeah.
Completely confident, yeah.
Yeah. But, it's looking a lot like the last year of Nixon's presidency, where everything starts going to shit.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
There's a nice opinion piece on CNN. John Bolton's mustache is more qualified to be national security advisor than he is.
Yeah.
His butthole hair is more qualified.
Yeah. But, moving on with some more news, Trump news. So apparently Trump has apparently broken not one but two emoluments clauses. So he's now being served a court summons in D.C., Maryland.
Yeah, D.C. and Maryland have a suit going against him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they served it actually at the White House.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, so alleged Trump is violating two separate constitutional clauses, the Foreign Emoluments Clause and the mm-hmm. Domestic Emoluments Clause. The Foreign Clause prohibits the president from receiving, quote, any present emoluments, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. They argue this is violated when foreign governments patronize his D.C. hotel. Mm-hmm. And other properties, including the decision by the embassy of Kuwait after the election to switch a major event to the Trump Hotel after initially booking the Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The Domestic Emoluments Clause prohibits the president from receiving gifts or emoluments from the federal government or states. Alleges that the federal government provided an improper benefit when allowed Trump to maintain his lease for his D.C. hotel, which is federal property, despite an explicit mm-hmm. provision banning elected officials.
Mm.
Yeah, remember that whole conflict of interest thing that we talked about a few months ago?
Yeah.
He's got hundreds of those.
Oh, yeah.
That's what weirdly keeps him safe, is it's a huge fucking nest of tied-up shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not many people want to dig through.
Yeah, these are just the ones that they've been able to just tease out for the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, so they allege that his unconstitutional actions are stealing business away from other venues, convention centers in Washington, Baltimore, and Bethesda. Maryland also claims it is losing tax revenue when the Trump Hotel draws room and event bookings from private businesses in the state, including the MGM Casino at National Harbor.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, compared to all the other crap that the administration did this week, this one's kind of light news, but it's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Well, it's always the tiny shit that ends up getting really getting them in trouble.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got Al Capone on
his taxes.
Doesn't matter what you get him on, just get him on something.
Yeah, I think this is all addressing Trump as a businessman, not necessarily the president.
Yeah, well, so, he wants to run the country as a business. He needs to abide by business rules, so.
Yeah.
He'll bankrupt us.
Yeah, well, at least there's a better chance of there being consequences for this than... what was the thing with what's her name? His advisor that's on TV all the time. The woman.
Which one? There's a couple.
It's been a revolving door since.
Well, the one he's had since the campaign.
Oh, Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, she had something she violated. Oh yeah, tampering with the Alabama stuff with Roy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Actively campaigning for him instead of. Which is not allowed.
Yeah. Right.
The person that would serve any sort of punishment is the president. She's not going to give a shit about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, up next, another story. So here in Georgia, we have a saying. People in Georgia, they wake up in the morning and they say, thank God for Alabama. Now, the folks in Alabama, they also have a saying. The folks in Alabama, they wake up in the morning and they say, thank God for Mississippi. And in Mississippi, the governor signed an abortion ban that's supposed to ban abortion after 15 weeks, but the federal judge has temporarily blocked it.
Yep. Should. Yeah, blocked it for 10 days while the court considers further action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... thing people might not know is there's one abortion clinic in Mississippi.
Yep.
One.
One. Let me count them. One. You're done.
Yeah. And I believe they filed lawsuit against the government over this law passing.
Yep.
And I think also other nonprofits, the Center for Reproductive Rights filed a lawsuit challenging it. Probably others have as well.
Yeah, this is going to be tied up for a good long time.
Yeah. As they usually do, because as we often have to constantly remind these assholes, this is protected under the Constitution by the Supreme Court.
Yeah. The weird thing is they present this all as protecting maternal health. As they say, House Bill 1510 protects maternal health while further our efforts to make Mississippi the safest place in America for an unborn child. Which they have one of the higher rates of issues with that stuff. It's like, yeah, because you've only got one abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People that do not want to have their children cannot find a safe place to do it.
Mm.
End up potentially taking worse routes or having to travel further distances.
Mm-hmm.
Or incest and rape victims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also the lack of sex education. There are many things that contribute to this.
The over-reliance on abstinence only, which doesn't work. And, of course, the fact that, you know, some of these girls will make one bad decision and they'll basically end up with a kid and they'll have a dirtbag boyfriend that won't pay child support.
Yeah.
And I guess with this specific bill, there are exceptions for medical emergencies and cases where there would be a severe fetal abnormality, no exceptions for rape or incest.
Because
apparently there's no such thing because, you know, women are just objects. And
Yeah. Well, this is Mississippi we're dealing with here. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's basically ruled and apparently inhabited by a bunch of stubborn traditional assholes.
Yeah. Who apparently have not managed to die yet.
No. And you know, that's kind of the one thing that you have to keep telling yourself to comfort yourself. Eventually, this older generation will be dead.
Yeah.
You just have to hope they haven't brainwashed the next generation.
You have to hope that there's still a planet to save afterwards.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, as everybody knows, the younger generation, Generation Z, especially if they're in high school and middle school, have gotten much more active in politics. for obvious reasons.
Much to the chagrin of the older generation.
Yeah. Especially when, you know, you're living in an era where people can just go into your school with an AR-15 and kill dozens of your friends.
Hmm. So you.
Yeah. So, this one student in, let's see, where was it at?
Nevada.
Nevada. Of course, it was fucking Nevada. A student at
Washoe
High School.
Yeah.
Basically, during the national walkout last week, which, by the way, if you were one of the young people in there, kudos to you. And don't let the old fogies get you down.
Mm-hmm.
They're just mad that, you know, you're being proactive and they're a bunch of lazy bastards. But basically, he delivered a pretty profanity-laced call to the lawmaker's office. Basically telling them to get off their fucking asses. And so his school suspended him.
Well, how that happened is interesting because he or one of his aides called the school and alerted him to this gross conduct.
It's gross. Very disrespectful conduct.
Yeah.
God, these freaking Congress people are a bunch of little snowflakes, aren't they?
And,
some of them certainly are.
Yeah,
especially this douchebag.
Yeah. This douchebag is Mark Amode, Amodei,
mm-hmm.
Second congressional district. Never guess what party he's in.
Yeah,
GOP, I would guess.
Yeah, yeah. So that day, he was called to the principal's office and given a 2-day suspension for disrespectful behavior, language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a staff member from your office contacted the constituent school to report this phone call, which seems like a violation of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Political privacy is what they say has been breached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they also won't let this dude resume his elected role as the class secretary treasurer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This kid's going to get a freaking scholarship because some college somewhere is going to say, hey, we'll take you. We like what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess he said that his wording wasn't ideal, but the student said he's disappointed a staff member in Amode's office breached his political privacy by calling the school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm smart enough to use better words than, of course, the F word. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, even if I do want to use words and use them over and over again, it's my right to do so.
To be completely honest, there aren't very many words in the English language that can express that level of anger. So
Yeah, so obviously he is very much dedicated to that topic. Let's see. Yeah, for the sake of all your constituents, I hope you rectify the situation you created. Restore this young man's school record by withdrawing your complaint to the school and apologizing to him.
Yeah.
This is the ACLU's letter to his office.
Yeah, ACLU, as you can probably guess, have gotten on this shit pretty quick.
Yep.
Well, and then this Amode Congress guy says, or representative, whatever the fuck he is, says, well, you know, my staffer said the guy was vulgar. It wasn't like my staffer went and beat the kid up at the school. He just called the school and said, he's vulgar. You know, what the fuck kind of defense is that? He didn't go and beat him up at his school. What?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Why it's like getting a gold star for not raping someone.
Yeah.
It's like, why is a House of Representative congressman needing to get involved in this?
Mm-hmm.
Getting so offended by a teenager calling him and not being extremely polite.
Be like, yeah.
Oh, I gotta get a hold of this kid's school and let them know exactly what this kid is sending me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I gotta make sure you know that I am, let's see, 60 years old.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
And a staunch supporter of gun rights.
He should be kissing.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Not like his parents are my bosses.
Right.
Well,
you're not the bosses of the other of all your constituents. Hmm. Mm-hmm. The other way around.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You work for us, fucker. Yeah.
His parents disagreed, obviously, with the school's decision to suspend him.
Mm-hmm.
Calling his son a good student who doesn't have behavioral problems. My son is a great kid, his dad, Richard, said in a statement. He's absolutely despicable and disgusting the school did this. His mom, see, another school shooting today, and you're worried about my son using a cuss word.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We forgot to mention. There was another school shooting this week.
Yeah. Yeah, which here apparently you can't do anything about.
Which one was that? The one in Maryland?
Yep.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Amadai also said, do you need anything from the White House? Because I know they're not talking to your lily white ass. Oh, this is ahead of the 2016 presidential election. Okay. Joe Biden is a Trump-led White House and offering to play middleman for House Speaker Paul Ryan, who shied away from supporting Trump.
But anyway,
oh, fuck these people.
Yeah, just they're just a gang of awful human beings.
I hope they all get replaced by these kids who are standing up and doing something. Because you know, as another Gen Xer, we just don't want to do anything.
Yeah,
you know, let everybody else do it. We're gonna sit here and bitch about it, but we don't want to do anything. So
yeah,
If you're in the Massachusetts district, one of the Massachusetts districts, you've got, I believe, a couple of months to go. One of the people running is Brianna Wu.
Yep.
There's somebody who's going to stir up some shit if she manages to win.
Speaking of elections, you guys remember we talked about that Nazi somewhere over like Chicago Ridge or some shit like that. I don't know where the fuck.
Yeah, he won.
Of course he did, because he was the only Republican on there. And I certainly hope that has shamed the other Republicans into action for the future.
Yeah.
So, and he'll very, very tidily lose, you know, when it's time for the next election. Yeah. But
I think somebody actually asked him about the Nazi thing. He's like, well, I don't think of myself as a Nazi, and people have pictures of him a couple years ago wearing the Nazi armband.
Yeah. With swastikas and brown shirts. And
yeah.
Like, no, you're still doing this.
Yeah.
Just because you took a little break doesn't mean you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just take a break. That you have to denounce that shit. You have to denounce it a lot.
Yeah. But
denouncing.
Yeah, so one of the commentators over at Fox News, a gentleman I really have no love for because he's a pretty nasty piece of work on his good days. Apparently he has gotten some sense and basically quit and gave a memo to his bosses and a lot of the other people at Fox, basically saying that look, man, I can't do this shit anymore. You guys are basically being propagandists for Trump and Russia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that called Obama a pussy.
On air, and got him suspended for 2 weeks.
And described him as having been date raped by Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to call his...
His name's Colonel Ralph Peters. Yes, he is a... Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, said. Well,
I think the most poignant two sentences are: over my decade with Fox, I long was proud of the association. Now I am ashamed.
And he also says, "Fox Business people are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as stupid as Fox News.
They're also twice as evil." So yeah. I'll just put that out there. But he said.
He says, like, to me, Fox News is now wittingly harming our system of government for profit.
Mm-hmm.
As a Russia analyst for many years, it has also appalled me that many hosts who have made their reputation as super patriots and who justifiably savaged President Obama for his duplicitous folly with Putin now advance Putin's agenda by making light of Russian penetration of our election and the Trump campaign. Despite increasingly pathetic denials, it turns out that the Nothing Burger has been covered with Russian dressing all along. And by the way, as an intelligence professional, I can tell you that the Steele dossier rings true. That's how the Russians do things. The result is that we have an American president who's terrified of his counterpart in Moscow. I did not apply the above criticism in full to Fox Business, where numerous hosts retain a respect for facts and maintain a measure of integrity. Nor is every host at Fox News a propaganda mouthpiece. Some have shown courage. And he values this relationship with Fox Business, miss a number of hosts and staff members. You're the grown-ups.
Yeah.
Also, I deeply respect the hard news reporters at Fox who continue to do their best as talented professionals in a poison environment. These are some of the best men and women in the business. So to all of you, thanks. And as your president's favorite world leader would say, das vidanya.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Basically, he said Fox has degenerated from providing a legitimate and much-needed outlet for conservative voices to a mere propaganda machine for a destructive and ethically ruinous administration. Yeah. The folks at Fox have put out a statement saying Ralph Peters is entitled to his opinion. Despite the fact that he's choosing to use it as a weapon in order to gain attention, we are extremely proud of our top-rated primetime hosts and all of our opinion programming. At the link, we have his full email that you can read on the article. He just straight up savages these people.
And he just basically does a fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you.
Yeah.
And he's out.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that a dude like him, it's a dude coming from a man like him, really is showing just how off the deep end that the entire Fox News crowd in the conservative world have gone.
Yeah.
And it's like a racist guy saying, man, you guys are a little bit too racist. You're laying on a little thick here, buddy.
Yeah. And
I was cool when we were just joking about the Jews.
Yeah.
You guys are getting a little too serious here.
Yeah. Which is basically kind of what's happening over at 4chan right now. I visit 4chan on occasion, and even they're getting sick of it.
Yeah.
So that basically tells you that they really are imploding.
Yeah.
But next up in more fun news, Jim Carrey. In small doses, he's amazing. In bigger doses, he's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
But he basically went on a art bender for the last couple of weeks. And he's been producing a bunch of paintings and political cartoons. And he put out a cartoon. He didn't mention who it was, but it was pretty obviously supposed to be his current spokesman.
Sir Cheeto.
Yeah, Sir Cheeto's current spokesman. And conservatives were oh so insulted. And he also did. So we've got it linked here. He got like about 15 different pieces of art he's put in.
He's pretty good as an artist. Better than I would have expected Jim Carrey to be. It's like Sarah Huckabee one has seen that as the first one. I was like, okay, he's all right. And then I looked at the others and like, okay, he's way better than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the one that's really gotten him – well, two basically that's really gotten me is one of – he didn't name names, but it's supposed to be Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Yeah. And then he put one that was basically supposed to be a caricature of Donald Railing Stormy.
Yeah, these are some interesting ones. There's one obviously centered around the school shooting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of them.
Yeah, one with a girl that's been shot up on a – I guess that's floor tile.
I thought it was American flag.
I think that's sort of the styling of it.
Yeah.
Like it's like if you made a floor tile in those colors. That says, oh, say, can you see?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see? A lot of people are like attacking him because he says for the Sarah Huckabee Sanders one, this is the portrait of a so-called Christian whose only purpose in life is to lie for the wicked. Monstrous.
I love that he used the sort of Trump template of discourse there.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, first reply, guess your career is over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he gives a fuck.
Yeah.
The Rubio one with blood on his hands is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! There's one for Rick Gates. Another school shooting one. Great news. The president's answer to school shootings is to arm the Glee Club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's another one with Trump on the golf course with a bunch of dead kids all over the course.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's wrong with these kids? Didn't they hear me yell four?
Yeah.
There's one with Paul Ryan with creep written over it, over mm-hmm. his face.
God.
Yeah.
So there's actually, like, on his website, he's got some, well, Jim Carrey.
Selling some of them, isn't
he? Yeah, on Jim Carrey Online. Apparently he's been doing shit like this since he was a kid.
Yeah, there's a bunch of these are from last year, a couple of them at least.
Yeah.
But he's done some that are not political. There's Stephen Hawking. He did a tribute thing to him.
Yeah.
I don't know what this one is. It's like a dark background with like blue stuff on it. I don't know what it is.
Mm. A lot of his stuff has a very abstract.
Yeah.
There's eyes in that one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on with the rest of that.
Staring into the abyss.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, I still don't like Jim Carrey because of his anti-vax stuff.
Yeah.
But hey, occasionally they get it right.
Another situation where severe renouncement would be good.
Yeah. But, and now up for another story I like, to another story that just fucking tickles me pink. So John Oliver, for those who don't know, John Oliver, of course, he's got his show Last Week Tonight on HBO and I guess Netflix too.
Is it?
No, but
what's YouTube, they put the big segment on there.
Yeah, okay.
They put the big segment on every week.
Yep. And this week he did it on Mike Pence, our vice president, and probably soon to be president.
The only member of his cabinet that he cannot fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And we'll probably be taking his position sooner rather than later. But thing you got to know about Mike Pence is Mike Pence is old school conservative Republican, which means he's really deep with the evangelical crowd.
And he even had a radio show in the 90s.
Yep.
Where he's like, oh, what's up with these women in the military? We got to get rid of that.
Yeah. And also been a longtime supporter and member of Focus on the Family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a protege of Dr. James Dobson.
Fuck him.
Yeah, seriously, fuck that guy. Fuck him so much. I absolutely despise him with every ounce of my being.
They had one weird clip of that guy where he's like, some of the kids call us Pocus in the Family. In the Fanny. Pocus in the Fanny.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess that's kind of accurate. I guess saying they're being anti-gay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't it's a weird thing.
Yeah, like, but
but it's true.
Yeah, but anyway, the point is, there's one thing at least about Mike Pence that John Oliver really likes, and that's the Pence family's rabbit, whose name is Marlon Bundo. And that is definitely a terrific name for a bunny rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
So Pence's daughter wrote Charlotte wrote a children's book about little Marlon Bundo, about him sort of telling the story of what the daily life of Vice President Pence is. It was illustrated by Pence's wife, you know, the woman that, you know, has to be absolutely everywhere with him. If there's
you mean mother?
Yes, mother. That is so old school.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandfather didn't even call my grandmother that.
Yeah. But anyway, they put out a book, and John Oliver thought, you know, considering the fact that, amongst other things, the last stop on Mike Pence's book tour is going to be a gay conversion center.
Yep, Focus on the Family.
Yep. And so John Oliver said, you know what? What if we got some of the folks at our studio to write our own little children's book about Marlon Bundo and sell the proceeds to the Trevor Project and some AIDS charities? You know, wouldn't that be cool?
100% of the proceeds go to
And it's now outselling the Pence book by quite a while. In fact, it's currently number one at Amazon. Yeah. It's sold like 180,000 copies at least.
Yeah, they're sold out on the physical book.
They actually are having to order a reprint.
Yeah. It's on back order. people are not going to get that for a few more weeks if you're ordering it now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's basically ebook versions as well if you want that.
Yeah. And basically it's very nicely illustrated, and it's basically about how Marlon Brando is going around, and it's a cute little story, and he falls in love with another boy rabbit named Wesley. The audiobook is written by what's his name?
It's voiced by what's his name?
Jim Parsons?
Yeah. Jim Parsons and a bunch of other people he got in there.
Yeah. And it's a cute little story, but then the Marlon Brando and Wesley decide they want to get married, but then they have to deal with a stink bug, who apparently everybody listens to, even though he smells really bad, because he says boy rabbits can't marry other boy rabbits.
Yeah.
And the stink bug is very clearly based on Mike Pence.
Yeah,
so for the audiobook, they have Jim Parsons as Marlon Brando, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Jeff Garlin, Ellie Kemper, John Lithgow, he's the stink bug.
Mm-hmm.
Jack McBrayer and RuPaul's in it.
Yep. And like I said, it's currently outselling Pence's book by like 10-1.
The Trevor Project and AIDS United.
Yep, those
If you click on the links just for those, you can actually just do a $12 donation there and you get a free ebook version of the book to go with that. So if you just want to give to one of those charities directly, you can do that. Still get the ebook.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's on Amazon. I think the book publisher also has it on their site, Chronicle Books. The IndieBound and Barnes & Noble also have it,
yeah,
as well as Audible for the audiobook version.
So go and get it. It's for a worthy cause, and it's actually very well done.
Yeah.
And it's going to piss off Mike Pence, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess he probably doesn't to do it. Really give a shit. But I guess Charlotte Pence's book has been doing pretty well, and they're donating some of their proceeds to charities. They haven't said exactly how many, but I think she also bought a copy of John Oliver's book. It's like, hey, this is all going towards charity anyway, so let's all just celebrate the helping out people.
Oh, she's a better person than her father is.
Yeah.
But
hopefully that stays that way.
Yeah. But, anyway, next up into going to the, 0 to 100 real quick.
Oh yeah. Some good stuff more of that, John Oliver. The sites for that is betterbundobook.com as well as, Furcus in the family. Was
yeah.
that? Yeah. If Furcus on
Furcus the family. And Furcus on the family, yeah, it's a, yeah. it's a very, it's an obvious pun.
Yeah, so they got that site as well. Like it just goes right to the Better Bundle Book thing. So yeah, so long as that, they just got cheeky and bought a couple of URLs for that thing.
Yeah, and it succeeded beyond their wildest dreams too.
Yeah.
They seriously did not expect it to do as well. But anyway, going from that to just 0 to 100 real quick, over in Kosovo, there was going to be a vote on border demarcation. Because, again, you know, this is the Balkans, so...
I think they're also trying to get into the EU, so this is working towards that.
And so the opposition party set off some tear gas in the parliament building so that they couldn't do the vote.
Yeah, literally just setting it off and then throwing it across the room.
Yep. Really not much to add to that. They just... That's some hardcore shit.
Yeah, and the rest of the people are like, yeah, this isn't going to stop anything. They're just being babies.
Delay stuff for a few days.
Yeah. But like I said, this is the Balkans, and these types of border dispute shit is no laughing matter down there. Remember, this is the place where the Yugoslav wars happened, and we all know how those went. I mean, this is the place where World War I started. But, anyway, so from then we're going on off to a sad story. Experts have now announced that the last male northern white rhino has died.
Yeah,
so which, that species unless they've got samples from that species, that's pretty much its death sentence.
Yes,
they have samples from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fortunately.
So there are two females that are around, so they're going to potentially try that at some point.
But they don't know if harvesting the eggs is going to end up killing them.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Did it just die of old age, or?
Yeah, 45 years old.
Mm.
Yeah. And, just age-related issues and multiple infections. So they euthanized it.
Yeah. Well, whether or not the species is going to go extinct is going to depend on whether or not they can successfully store and fertilize those embryos. So,
yeah.
So, next up, for some reason, these type of stupid stories keep popping up. This woman started this cult, and let's see, it's basically by this woman named Jillian Mythe Epperly. Basically it's like a holistic, like naturalistic type.
It's totally like a homeopathy woo
bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. She like has people brew their own cabbage, whatever.
Yeah.
And
her most,
in salt, and you leave it out overnight and shit, and then you shit, like you literally have waterfalls of diarrhea, and of course these poor people are probably dehydrated as fuck, and then they can't think straight.
Yeah. Because it's all based on this false idea that having fecal matter in your body is bad.
Well, it's that whole, everybody freaks out about Candida. Candida causes all the problems. Candida this, Candida that. Or what's the other one?
Toxins or
too much acidity.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, this one specifically around Candida.
Yes.
It's a Facebook group called Exposing the Lies, Candida Weaponized Fungus Mainstreaming Mutancy.
God, it's always this shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's this shit, or it's Dr. Oz having people eating coffee beans, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, those just hype you up, man. That's all those do. Well, until you have a heart attack. But apparently some guy got another cancer diagnosis. He'd already done chemo. He didn't want to do it again. So he did this, and, they found him passed out. He was emaciated. It was just a bad deal. But and his rabbi had said, like, if somebody told him that eating rat poison was going to cure him, he was so desperate he would have done it.
And he didn't want to go through chemotherapy again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so I guess
anything has got to be better than chemo. So.
Yeah, I guess the recipe for this is a tablespoon of pink Himalayan salt, two cups of water, and 2 cups of cabbage or kale.
Yep.
Puree it. Poured in a glass jar, which he made up like a couple dozen of these things. Mm-hmm. Bought another fridge to put these in. I guess messaged his daughter, look at my cancer cure. That stuff should work. Hope you're doing good today.
Yeah.
He ended up dying about a month later because he had basically just been drinking that juice.
Yeah, he was essentially starving.
Yeah.
On top of trying to fight off everything that was going on with him.
And it was all coming out as diarrhea, and so he ended up passing away.
Yeah.
Hospice facility.
So, just to make this as clear as I possibly can, everybody knows this. It's not a bad thing for there to be fecal matter in your body.
Yeah, it's a body.
It's supposed to be there, but it's fertilizer. It nourishes you. It has things in it that your body desires, and it can process it. Your body is a machine, and it can process this stuff very easily. Unless you have some sort of specific gastrointestinal issue, it's fine. It's okay. No, and also, and I need to make it something else clear. there are definitely things out there in our food that we eat and drink that are not ideal for you to consume. Things like processed sugar or too much processed carbohydrates.
Or raw water.
Yeah. But here's the thing. That stuff isn't poison that's going to kill you. It might make you a little fatter, but it's not going to kill you. You know, unless you eat pounds and pounds of it in extreme doses, in which case, then that's partly because you've got an enabler who keeps feeding you. But
the other part of this is the Facebook part of it, where these people can make groups, and Facebook is really lax on these sorts of groups that are not technically breaking their rules, which suggests they should probably have better rules.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're able to find these new people to come in and indoctrinate them.
Yeah.
And
by the way, for anybody who's curious, in reference to Facebook, for anybody who's curious, we're going to be talking about the Cambridge Analytica shit next week. So,
if you need to know how legit she is, she put out a book that she self-published on Google Drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
She couldn't even put it on
freaking Amazon wouldn't touch her.
Yeah.
And she fell in with the anti-vax community.
Mm-hmm.
I was exposed to the anti-vax community, the chemtrail community, all these conspiracy shit. I tried every single detox pill, powder, supplement, because I guess she had premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped. That made it hard for her to keep a job. She met her husband online, moved to Ohio. She actually lives around here, I guess, Kane, Ohio. Her husband was a trucker, so she would hear all the crazy stuff on the radio, like InfoWars founder Alex Jones.
Yep. So because, of course, he's going to pop up. As you could probably guess, he's probably going to pop up into one of these stories eventually.
Yeah, he hawks chicken juice.
Yeah.
It's like paleo.
All that paleo shit. And for the record, you know, stuff like, keto or paleo diets – you know, I'm not necessarily against that stuff. Just understand that type of shit is not a permanent solution.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good for the sense of making you think about what you're eating.
Yeah.
But most of that stuff is not great for the long term.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, some of these people that were brewing up this cabbage juice shit, did we mention that some of them were also making their babies drink this shit?
Ew. Are you effing kidding me?
No. Yeah, oh, just read the article. There's even a little Facebook group from like a message chat where she fed the stuff to her infant child through a syringe and then took a picture of the bloody diaper afterwards.
Can you give me her address? right now.
Teresa Smash.
I don't think that any of the people that I used to associate with in certain circles even listen to this podcast. But I'm not surprised, but I'm just furious. Because these people would push a baby out and then take it straight to a chiropractor to have it adjusted.
Yep. There's nothing worse than people with this woo shit pushing it on the kids.
Yeah. I know people who do this. I know people who are convinced that their children have certain allergies. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm saying that if they go and get a RAS test from a doctor, I'm more likely to believe it.
Yeah.
What they do is they hold a magic dildo. Have I told you guys about the magic dildo before?
I think I know, but I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's this probe. It literally looks like a Steely Dan, and they have somebody hold it with their hand, and they pass through the same frequency vibes of a banana through the magic dildo, and they measure your response. And if you respond poorly, you're allergic to bananas. Yay!
Yep,
that's not how it works.
That's not even fucking close to how it works.
That's not how any of
how you tell works. You're allergic to a banana. You eat a banana if something doesn't something doesn't happen normally.
Then you go to a doctor.
Yeah, you say, hey. stick me with needles and figure out what the hell is going on.
Right. Yeah.
There's only one good thing that's coming out of this article. I think we need to move on.
Yeah.
It's the very first line under the title. It says, "I'm proud of being a leader of a poop cult."
Well, no, she's that kind of sociopath, yeah. Basically.
Well, there is a good thing that's coming out. There are people who are organizing and getting on Facebook, and they're just volunteers, and there's like 10,000 of them trying to shed the word or shed some light on what is going on here and spread the word that this shit ain't right.
Yeah.
It ain't right. This is bad. This is why.
There's a reason why not everybody's doing this stuff.
Yeah.
If it was actually good, everybody would know and everybody would be doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why all those magical penis cures or lengtheners or whatever, everybody would do that if it actually worked.
Exactly.
If those things actually work, every man on Earth would be walking around with a fire hose. With a fire hose in their pants.
Yeah.
Or a slightly larger novelty fire hose.
Yeah. And the Irish lottery is not sending you $20 million.
No. And the thing is, there are still people, you know, obviously people have been falling for scams for years.
Oh, yeah.
And the internet especially is particularly bad about this. I mean, we've talked about it before when we were younger, and our parents and grandparents kept sending those chain letters, mm-hmm. you know, through the email.
Oh, before that, there that's was actually harmless. Stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, that's well, it, too.
It like, is, except that then you know, people start going through that, and then, you know, you have your great auntie who honestly believes that this person knows what they're talking about, and then they start telling them how to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I don't give out my email to anybody in my family.
Right.
Well,
and if they do somehow get it, I just immediately stop. I don't respond.
Yeah.
And they eventually stop.
You're too young to use email. What even is that? You just put it on your resume. There's no good reason to have email.
But anyway, we got to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So this next story is from Florida. So.
Florida man.
And they have to report all the news there, so yeah. Keep that in mind.
Well, like we said, yeah, I mean...
This is actually a somewhat good Florida man story.
This yeah. is a good one.
Smarter but than the victim. Just,
yeah, it's just sort of a weird roundabout way because it is a Florida man story. And as we've said before, the reason so many of these stories come out is because Florida, their criminal records are open to the public. So... Yeah.
Everything gets reported.
Yeah. So some guy in Florida stole a car, and he realized that a baby was still in the back, so he took the baby and dropped it off at a gas station.
Yeah,
very panicked like.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh shit. Takes it in, just drops it off in the store, just leaves.
Well, no, they weren't even open yet. It was a different gas station than
where he went to a different gas
station. Up.
Yeah.
And bangs on the door, and he's like, take the baby!
Yeah. he stole the car at, where is it?
That was like 4 a.m., I remember that much.
I think it was like a Sunoco.
Yeah.
Then took it over to a different one, completely different gas station.
Like 6 miles away.
It's like, yeah, and it's like, okay, the parent left the kid in the car. That's really bad. You're not supposed to do that. Especially if you're going in. It's like, it's not just a minute. It never is.
Yeah.
When I lived in Arizona, that stuff started every single newscast.
Yeah.
Being 10 minutes of, oh, this person left their kid in the car when it's 120 degrees out, now they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, this is why you don't do it. You don't leave the kid in the backyard where there's a pool, even if there's a cover on it, because they're going to fall in and drown or suffocate.
Yeah.
It's like
all the terrible shit happens there.
This parent did leave the car running, so you would assume there's heat or air going.
Yeah, but also get at a gas station because...
Yeah.
I
know,
I can
just
imagine the other gas station attendant being very confused upon receiving this baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, this is the thief is the more responsible person here.
Yeah.
He's like, oh shit, it's a baby. I don't want the baby, so I'm going to leave him with a responsible adult.
It didn't even feel like a good car or anything either. It's just like,
I mean, he stole a car that was running at the gas station. And
it's just a run-of-the-mill car. Yeah.
Yeah. So people have always wonder, why is it that people just do crazy shit in Florida? Because even though, you know, obviously, like I said, the reason most of these stories get out is because, you know, their criminal records are open to the public. You know, Florida, it's hot, it's humid. It basically gets trashed by hurricanes once a year. And about a third of it is nothing but swamp and infested with crocodiles
and
alligators.
And old people.
Yeah. So, as you can expect, it drives everyone there just a little bit crazy.
This is why most people stay there maybe a week at most.
Yeah.
They just go do the thing they want to do, whether it's Daytona or Disney World or Universal or anything else there.
Yeah.
You stay for a little bit and you go before it infects you.
And go down, if you're going down to Panama City Beach, you know, and then you're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just visiting. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got some, your guys are going to get mad at this. I got some breaking news.
What?
Donald Trump just issued orders to ban most transgender troops from the military.
ACLU is on it. Yeah. They're on it. We just have to support them.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Human Rights Campaign, they're out there too.
Yeah.
Lambda Legal.
Yeah, remember, so that less people in the military.
Yeah. For those you don't know, the last time he tried to pull this actually didn't work. Like, he got slapped down by the courts.
Yeah.
So this is them basically trying to try it again. And this is also coming on the tails of the Justice Department refusing to answer the subpoena requesting, because they got subpoenaed to requesting the identity of the so-called military experts who advised them to do the shit to begin with.
Yeah.
Is this a distractionary tactic?
I would not be surprised.
I mean,
if
it's
it
happening
is.
On a Friday night.
Yeah, it's a news dump.
Yeah. Generally, that's how it works.
I hope you're not paying attention, except Facebook. It's the internet and everybody's paying attention.
Yeah.
This isn't the 90s when the internet was just AOL and weird nerds.
And Alta Vista.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so honestly, again, it's something to be pissed about, but I'm not terribly concerned about it.
Yeah.
The right people to pay attention to that thing and deal with it.
Yeah. But anyway.
Back to important topics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang and the Lil Wayne. So everybody knows about those, huh?
The technically unreleased albums.
Yeah, these are the ones, weren't these the ones, from Farmadouche, Martin Shkreli.
These are the ones he confiscated to as part of the amount of money he had to.
So guess who's going to decide the fate of these albums? Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Oh, God.
The racist elf in the government has to decide what to do with two rap albums.
Yep. You're never seeing these.
Yep.
If he was smart, he just should put it in the Library of Congress and find some way to make it just publicly available.
But this is Jeff Sessions, so that is the exact opposite of what he's going to do.
Yeah.
We got to start banning all the rap.
Yeah.
Because it's not funny, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to crawl into this cabinet and start cooking up nightmares for little children.
Anyway.
But, God damn it! next up, we got a story from the Weinstein Company.
The continuing saga of the Weinstein Company.
Yeah, they're basically screwed at this point. They have officially filed for bankruptcy, and all those non-disclosure agreements they have with the victims, they are officially canceled. So,
oh boy.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because that means...
What's that?
Because what this means now is all the folks that over the years that Weinstein has assaulted, they can just come out and they don't have to hide shit anymore.
No, they can just lay into it.
Yeah.
They got the last laugh.
Yep.
So expect next week to have some coverage of that, because
yes.
I'm sure there's going to be some.
Oh, yeah. man, it's just... I mean, you know, the fact that he managed to get away with this shit for so long, and the fact that he's going to actually live to see everything he's built crumble around him, yeah, it just makes me feel happy.
That's the only good thing about it, really.
Yeah. But, yeah. And next up, Sony is planning, and for, in case you haven't realized, this is our entertainment portion of the show. Men in Black. Sony has decided that they're going to reboot that little franchise. And they're going to have the leads as Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
I mean, rebooting everything these days, so yeah. I'm not opposed to reboots as long as they're done well. So
yeah, we'll give us a mean, if you've watched the original, if you've watched Men in Black 1 and 2, you know they're very goofy 90s
action movies. Didn't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah,
the first is really good. Two, I was eh.
Yeah, third one was.
I forgot there was a third.
Yeah, there was a third.
I tried renting that on Amazon for 99 cents, and then. Couldn't watch it. It just, for whatever reason, it went from being, oh, you can watch this on anything, to like, you can watch this on the browser. And I was like, that's not what I signed up for. I'm not watching this on the browser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got hold of their customer service, like, yeah, we'll give you your 99 cents back. I was like, yeah. Damn right.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Fate of the Furious figure is directing the movie.
Okay.
F. Gary Gray. It's being written by Iron Man screenwriter Matt Holloway and Art Markham.
Mm.
And they have a date, June 14th, 2019. So that's about a year and change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're likening this to Jurassic World in how they're rebooting it.
Mm.
So it might still be related to the original movies, just Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson are going to be two new agents.
Mm.
Ah. Oh, they're making a Men in Black extended universe, in other words.
Yeah. Which, I don't know.
Yeah.
As long as this movie is fun, I'm all right with it.
Yeah. As long as it's good and competent, it's fine.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I say the new project is more of an ensemble piece than a two-hander. So there might not just be strictly those two. So they might have a full team.
So it might be Ghostbusters, but for aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
And they have the original producers are back. Steven Spielberg is executive producer. So, some nice talent there. Hopefully, it all comes together.
Yeah.
And next up, get ready to cry because we've gotten the first trailer for the Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary about Mr. Rogers.
Yep. In select theaters on June 8th. I think it's going to be like limited run. Yeah. At least initially.
Yeah. Mr. Rogers was a major part of my childhood, especially from my early days, you know, my early childhood upward. And it's great that, you know, his work, as old as it is now, they still rerun it on PBS, and it hasn't aged at all.
Twitch is still doing a marathon of that.
Yeah. And it hasn't really aged at all. I mean, obviously the production value and, you know, some of the fashion.
Yeah, that's certainly changed, but, you know, good values don't go out of style, so.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never watched much of it. The puppets creep me out. I was like,
what?
Yeah, the puppets he used.
Well, yeah, Lady Elaine.
It's like that, like the Thomas the Tank Engine stuff just creeped me out. I was like, I can't watch too much of this.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But the rest of it I watched was pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Every weekday morning from my early childhood, I watched him on PBS.
Hmm.
Yeah. I learned a bit here talking about the history of the show, sort of how he tackled actual like political topics in the show.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sort of as all the riots and such, race riots and all that,
mm-hmm.
as that stuff started happening, like, he actually had a black guy on with, they were, you know, enjoying a pool together, and their feet in the pool,
postman.
Like, that was...
Yeah, the postman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, that was a big deal back in the day, like segregated pools and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, because there was like that one guy who didn't want his black people using his pool, so he dumped like some kind of powder or something into it to drive them out. And so Mr. Rogers and the Postman, they had a nice little foot bath and a little pole in a little pool together.
Yeah, and then he went ahead and dried off his feet too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, like, hey, look, you're gonna be able to enjoy a nice pool with black people. Nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Actually, the guy who played the postman. If you guys have a chance, take a look at a little something that, you know, where he was recalling his time with Mr. Rogers. Very very beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has anything bad to say about Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers has no, absolutely zero scandal to him at all.
Yeah.
Like, he is probably the closest thing I've met in my lifetime to an actual saint.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if many years later there's a religion dedicated around him. Because he was that type of person.
Yeah.
And,
very much in stark contrast to what's going on now with the way Trump is doing things, and it's real weird what's going on now.
And see, the thing was, you know, everything that you saw on TV was who Mr. Rogers was in real life. There was nothing. That was how he was every day of his life. It wasn't just an act or a character. That's really how he conducted himself. Obviously, of course, he had a little bit of fun behind the scenes, and they'll show that in the... And he did have a pretty good sense of humor, but he also was really good at... One of the things, and one of the reasons he was so successful was because he really did understand children. You know, and as he himself said, the reason he wanted to start his show in the first place was because TV in the 50s was kind of garbage. It was basically a cesspool. It was all this, like, you know, the really big thing for him was the commercialism. Because everything on TV, I mean, obviously we have commercials and stuff, but back then everything had to be sponsored by a product.
Yeah.
Of some kind. And he just didn't like the way, you know, it was, he just didn't like the way it was affecting kids. And so he decided he was going to start his own little show. And,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how well this does, especially when we also have the Tom Hanks biopic coming out, I think, next year. So that'll be a nice dose of Mr. Rogers for the next year or two.
Those who don't remember, he was with us when 9/11 happened. You know, he died in, what was it, like, I think 2003? And so he was back on PBS after 9/11 happened for, you know, their various charities they were doing. So, you know, it just, the world has gotten much less friendly since he left us. And it's just a little sad. But he is a reminder that it's not an impossibility to be a nice person.
There's always hope.
And finally, we finally got our first major trailer for Deadpool 2.
The exact opposite of the Mr.
Yeah, can't really segue into that, but...
I love how this trailer starts, and it's like from the studio that brought you 27 Dresses and The Devil Wears Prada. It just shows exactly what this movie is going to be. They introduce Cable, so you get your first glimpse at Cable in the movie, which seems like it's going to be a pretty neat part of that whole thing. Because he's, what, a time traveler? Came back from the future? And he's trying to kill this kid in the, I assume, in the X-Force. Has some power that, I guess, gets real strong. But yeah, we get to see the X-Force in action. Colossus is still in there. Who else is in there? A couple other people, but one of the cool things I like is they describe the story here in the right below the video. I guess this was in the Wikipedia story section just before they changed it recently. After surviving a near-fatal bovine attack, a disfigured cafeteria chef, Wade Wilson, struggles to fulfill his dream of becoming Mayberry's hottest bartender while also learning to cope with his lost sense of taste. Searching to regain his spice for life, as well as a flux capacitor, Wade must battle ninjas, the Yakuza, and a pack of sexually aggressive canines as he journeys around the world to discover the importance of family, friendship, and flavor. Finding a new taste for adventure and earning the coveted coffee mug title of World's Best Lover.
Okay, I know that this isn't actual story for Deadpool 2, but I think they need to make that movie.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
that's out May 18th, so less than 2 months.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right after Solo, I should point out.
Right before?
It's
the 25th, I think.
Yeah, 1 week before Solo.
And a couple weeks after the new Avengers movie.
Yeah.
So
fuck you, you're going to the movies for the next month. So.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget Ready Player One next week.
Yeah. I have heard mixed
things.
Opinions.
Yes, things.
Yeah.
It's like the book.
Yeah.
It's like the book, but people have said that it doesn't quite have the heart that the book has.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that there's mixed opinions about the book.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Then again, it could have just been the early critics are all just a bunch of crab apples. So.
Yeah. I also heard good things. But also the internet doesn't want good things, so.
Yeah,
the internet hates everything and wants.
On the book.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, if you want to go into hating, it's. Yeah, you can go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I mean, Armin White has a career for a reason, so.
Yeah.
But anyway. I do believe we got a show, folks. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question or a comment you want to send us, you got something you've written that you want us to read on the show, or you just want to drop us a line and make fun of my accent, well, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it linked in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little recorded shenanigans on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and everywhere else where delicious little oral treats like ours can be listened. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo. Oh, one more thing. If any of you are going out to the March for Our Lives rally tomorrow in D.C., be careful out there. And go out and do some good work. We'll be out. We'll be supporting you in spirit. And so for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogian, and Teresa Sam, I'd like to say good night.